NASA finds evidence there may have been glitches in the Ares 1 launch. The FAA is considering new laws about laptop use in airliner cockpits. And the latest incursion at LAX leaves a Midwest pilot with some explaining to do. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, October 30th, 2009. NASA says it has recovered the main solid rocket booster from the Ares 1X following Wednesday's test flight. The booster was found floating upright in the Atlantic Ocean, but on inspection, divers found pronounced buckling in the booster's lower segment. They're not sure whether all the booster's three main parachutes opened. That was a key test for the vehicle. NASA engineers say if all three parachutes did not deploy, the booster could have been damaged when it hit the ocean. It'll be examined after being towed back to Kennedy Space Center. CBS News reports that the powered portion of the test appeared to be normal, but that the dummy upper stages appeared to enter a flat spin after separation instead of continuing on a nose-up trajectory as planned. U.S. Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood appears outraged over news that two Northwest Airlines pilots overshot Minneapolis because they were distracted by the use of laptop computers on the flight deck, hinting that he sees the practice as part of the same epidemic causing accidents on the nation's highways and rail lines. He announced Wednesday that DOT's examination of the effects of such distractions will now extend to airliner cockpits. Quote, "We're not going to equivocate on this. Any kind of distraction, whether it's trains, planes, or automobiles, is a distraction, and we should figure out ways to get these cell phones, the texting, and the use of laptops out of the hands of people who are supposed to be delivering the public to somewhere safely," unquote. Delta Airlines, which now owns Northwest, already has a company policy against the use of personal computers on the flight deck, but it's not a law yet. LaHood says he has FAA Administrator Randy Babbitt looking into whether there's a need for uniform federal regulations. It's been a bad couple weeks for airline pilots not paying attention. A Northwest Airlines 757 departing Los Angeles International Airport came within 82 feet of a Midwest Airlines E190 on a taxiway Tuesday. That's less than half the separation required by the FAA. The regional jet had reportedly just landed following a flight in from Milwaukee, and the pilot had been told by ATC to hold on the taxiway. But the plane went about 100 feet beyond the hold line before the controller saw what was happening and told the pilot to stop, which left him about 70 feet from an active runway. The incident will be investigated by the FAA and NTSB. Up next on ANN, Piper offers Avidyne Integra Release 9 in the PA-46 line. Ed Boland tells Congress business aviation leads in adopting new technology. And Gamma is not shy about asking for financial incentives to equip for next gen. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for October 30th. I'm Paul Plack. Piper Aircraft announced yesterday it will offer the Avidyne Integra Release 9 Integrated Flight Deck as an optional avionics suite on the Piper PA-46 Meridian, Mirage, and Matrix. Hailed for its modular architecture and clean user interface, R9 certification in the Matrix is expected in the second half of 2010, with the Mirage and Meridian following in 2011. Avidyne says customers who purchase an Integra-equipped Meridian, Mirage, or Matrix now will get an upgrade voucher that locks in the Release 9 upgrade price at $50,000, redeemable upon certification. Any Piper dealer can get you the details. Ed Boland spoke before the U.S. House Transportation and Infrastructure Subcommittee on Aviation Wednesday, but not in his role as president of NBAA. Boland was instead acting in his role as chairman of RTCA, which started in 1935 as the Radio Technical Commission for Aeronautics. These days, the group provides consensus-based aviation policy guidance, but it still kept the original initials. Boland told lawmakers that despite the tough shape general aviation finds itself in, business aviation remains committed to modernization of the air traffic control system, and he recited the track record. Quote, Business Aviation was among the early adopters of GPS navigation systems. We helped initiate the ADS-B test program in Alaska, a test program that is now the cornerstone technology of the modernization effort. We also participated in the ADS-B experiments at the Atlanta Olympics in 1996. In 2005, we supported our nation's transition to reduced vertical separation minima, which effectively doubled our en route airspace capacity, unquote. RTCA is recommending changes that would streamline the operations approval process and establish effective government-industry collaboration, allowing a faster transition to next-gen. GAMA, the General Aviation Manufacturers Association, also told the subcommittee next-gen is at a crossroads and that recommendations in RTCA's report should be adopted. GAMA VP of Operation Jens Hennig testified, quote, "Equipage will only take place when users are confident about the potential for benefits. Success in implementation now will mean more user confidence as we implement next-gen." GAMA looks forward to working with this committee, others in Congress, the administration, and industry stakeholders to develop opportunities to further NextGen through financial incentives for equipage, unquote. Still ahead, blowing dust and poor visibility is blamed for an MH-47 crash in Afghanistan. Aerospace leaders will meet to address the Augustine Commission report. And these union guys don't mince words. You're listening to Aero News.
Welcome to Cirrus Design, maker of the world's best-selling personal aircraft, the sleek SR-22. Cirrus planes feature the latest technologies and are equipped with an exclusive, life-saving parachute system. It is our mission to make personal aviation safe, affordable, and convenient. At Cirrus, we offer a test drive like no one else in the business.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, October 30th. I'm Paul Plack. U.S. military authorities have determined that an MH-47 helicopter crashed in Afghanistan's Baghdad province Monday due to poor visibility. The Hilo was lifting off about 3:30 a.m. local time after a successful operation against militants. Thick dust was stirred up by the initial takeoff, and the crew didn't see a tall structure nearby, which they hit. 7 U.S. service members died, and so did 3 U.S. civilians. The names of the deceased were being withheld pending notification of next of kin. Aerospace industry leaders will meet Monday for a half day in Washington, D.C. to discuss the Augustine Commission report and chart a way forward for manned space missions. The commission suggested that a return to the moon by humans is unrealistic given the budget provided NASA, and next week's meeting will come just a few days after the mostly successful first test launch of the Ares 1 rocket. Members of the American Institute of Aeronautics and Astronautics have already begun generating white papers outlining alternatives to an aerospace program. AIAA President Dave Thompson says of next week's meeting, quote, "Events such as these are crucial towards sparking the types of conversations that allow us to begin laying a substantive framework for future exploration and development efforts that can surmount the obstacles that the commission has identified," unquote. Next week's meeting is open to the press and public at no charge, but space is limited. Find out more about the event and its agenda in the text version of this story, dated October 29th, at aero-news.net. And finally, Boeing hasn't had the greatest relationship lately with the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers. But the union is doing something for Boeing that the manufacturer couldn't tastefully do for itself, openly accusing Northrop Grumman and Eads of lying about their entry in the competition for a new U.S. Air Force tanker. In apparent response to an announcement by politicians from the Gulf Coast region that they're forming an alliance to get behind Northrop's KC-45 tanker bid, Union General VP Richard Mikulski accuses Eads and Airbus of using Northrop Grumman as window dressing to disguise what is essentially a European aircraft. Quote, "The Air Force has requested a tanker aircraft based on an existing commercial aircraft. Northrop has never built a single commercial aircraft, nor does it have the assembly lines or engineers needed to build one. Instead, Eads intends to propose its A330, which is made and maintained in Europe and is the product of what has been determined by the World Trade Organization to be an illegal subsidy campaign intended to steal U.S. jobs. The so-called Northrop-Eads partnership on the tankers is little more than a press release. The A330 is an Eads-Airbus bid that is financed with European subsidies that the World Trade Organization has declared illegal," unquote. Boeing has been very businesslike in its own criticism of its competitor, but these union guys, they'll say anything. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, speaking of these union guys, we'll hear a bold call to action from IAM International President Tom Buffenbarger, delivered on the opening day of NBAA 2009. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend. We'll see you next month. Have a clear and unlimited day.